Hello, can you hear me? Hey, how's it going? I can't hear you, but I can see you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
There we go. How's it going?
Good. I just wanted to say hi because I just joined last couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And I have been reading about all the courses. So I just had a feedback. I thought the courses would be more like detailed in like anatomy, which there were a couple of them, like the one on the skin.
Okay.
And I think there was a couple of more. So I like those formats. So I enjoyed those because it told me how things really work.
Oh,
Then I
good.
can figure out how things, what's wrong, basically, what could be wrong.
Okay, so the scan course,
I
that
think
one was
there's
taught
one
by.
in one of the videos you said that this is the new format or the recent format changes that
Okay.
happen. And so, I mean, I enjoy the skin one because it really delved into. I mean, I personally, I would want to go more into the detail,
Yeah.
but those were fine. I mean, those I enjoyed more. The one with Dr. Bergman was very like he was kind of more I liked his hormones one,
Okay.
and I think the one on nervous system was also I enjoyed.
Oh, good. Okay, so you like more like the anatomy sort of the pictures and the sort of visual aspect of seeing what he's talking
Yeah,
about?
because then I can do more research on actually how things really work.
Okay.
I mean, I have been following Dr. Bergman for like a long time, but I have never joined because, I mean, I initially started because my pet was my, I went to India and he was, because during that protocol, you have to inject them with like vaccines and stuff, right?
Right.
And so he got sick as soon as within a month.
Who is
And
this?
so I was like, why? What happened? I mean, obviously there is stress, but what really triggered it? And then,
Is this your son, you said?
no, it was my pet, like a dog.
Oh, okay.
And so I kind of, I mean, his liver basically was basically some ends was the doctor said the liver is failing basically, that's all. And I mean
Wow.
that little bit anatomy from school, you know, that liver digests everything.
Oh
So
yeah, over 500
after
functions.
visiting on the liver, and then basically I thought what really changed, and the only thing was those vaccines.
Right.
And fortunately the doctors in India were not very, I mean they didn't give any suppressant drugs. They just gave like homeopathic medicine for liver damage
Oh, great.
and vitamin C and milk thistle, which actually I read about and they were like, okay. So he got a little better. Obviously, he's not, I mean, now he's too old so that I can't bring him to US. But that triggered me when I had a kid after like a year of that. I mean, since everybody is pro, not pro, I mean, nobody knows what are the damages.
Right.
So I didn't vaccinate my kid. And I mean, I had still had to like go through a lot of struggle with family and like.
Yeah. Are you in India right now?
No, right now I'm in Dallas.
Okay, yeah. So
I've been in
you haven't
Dallas for
vaccinated your
US for
son or
like.
daughter at all?
No.
No. Yeah, I'm with you right there. I'm the same way.
And the other thing was that during that protocol, the half of the pregnancy was in India. So they were following the US protocol.
Okay.
And so they gave the flu shot and to my wife. And that trick within 2 days she got sick. And then they were like, okay, now you can have antibiotics.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, there's something wrong here. And so obviously the flu shot triggered the fever, and then the so I mean after that we didn't take any other vaccinations. We even went for like the natural birth.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously, there was some medication done because my wife's pregnancy was really, the doctor said we haven't seen this kind of pregnancy ever, because as soon as I came here, I started giving her a lot of bitter juices and citrus juices every day, almost like 16 ounces of them.
Oh, great.
And she was taking some supplements. So so the pregnancy lasted long, but during the pregnancy, the contractions, even when she was like 6 or 7 meters apart, centimeters apart, the contractions were like at least 5 minutes apart.
Wow.
And so they were like, we haven't seen this, so we're going to give some Pedocin. And so they did give a little bit of Pedocin, but that was it.
Okay. Okay. So relatively, she's been not vaccinated, one flu shot, and so she's been doing well.
Yeah. And I mean, she's not doing well. And then she had a hypothyroidism for a long time. So she was taking, initially we didn't take any medicine, but then she was very irritated. Then she started taking medicine for a couple of years. Now we have stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, she started doing meditation a lot. So.
Oh, good. Good. That's great to hear. How old is your child?
He's almost 4.
Oh, wow.
4 in July. So we haven't given anything. We haven't given any medication or any vaccination.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
So now, I mean, he had gone sick like forever. Like every year he gets flu. He got flu when he was like 6 or 8 months old.
Okay.
But that time it wasn't bad because he was on breast milk for 2 years.
Oh, great.
And so nothing really wasn't dangerous. I mean, dangerous means like the only dangerous time was like he got during one of the sickness, he got a seizure for like, it was less than, I mean, I later on during that, your brain does not work, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I calculated the time because from the phone call and all those, and it was less than that danger time.
Right, right.
And he got fine. I mean, we thought we'd take him to a doctor, but then as soon as it stopped, the fever got over and then there was nothing.
I mean, can I share with you a bit of research that I think might be a good resource for you, especially in Dallas? For your child, this is something that we have in our back pocket as well. As are you familiar with acam.org?
No.
acam.org. And this is a highly resourceful website for you to know about. And on there, you can find an ultraviolet blood irradiation therapy specialist in your area. You can search by zip code.
Okay.
And in the face of coronavirus, in the face of flu, in the face of influenza, chickenpox, measles, smallpox, all of these viral infections, they cannot stand up to a 10 to 30 minute treatment of ultraviolet blood irradiation. And you can get that done and it will wipe out. If your son ever has chicken pox or any measles really bad, it will knock it right out.
I mean, after that, since after 2 years, whatever flu has he gotten was being, I mean, least after that, I researched on Susan Humphrey. I mean, I researched on Susan Humphrey when he had cough. So I started giving him doses of like vitamin C, whatever she recommended. And this time he had like, he got sick. For 3 months he was sick one after the, like he had like a stomach bug, then he had some kind of a fever.
Okay.
Then he had another, and the last one I think it was flu. So I gave him the that ginger and honey and basically the flu bomb and vitamin C doses, and I started noting down everything, like what I give him, what is his condition. So I started keeping that journal off since like a couple of years, that what, how many times he got sick, what did I do?
Oh, great.
And then this time he got 2 days I gave him vitamin C, he was fine after 2 days.
Okay.
And then I suddenly stopped it because he had some loose motions. So he was fine for one day, and then the fever started the next day again.
Okay.
So I was like, I know why it would have happened, because I suddenly thought I should have like tapered it down.
Right.
And then we went to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, it's flu. And then give Tamiflu. And then I was like, we don't need that, because I know it's already started it. And I continued the dose for 2 days, and then it got it, like the flu was gone.
There's also a homeopathic for flu that contains 12 of the most virulent strains of flu that's ever existed. I forget the name of it, but I know the person who can help find it. But it's a good thing to have on hand as well, because it contains 12 of the most serious and virulent strains of the flu that's ever been on Earth. And that's a really powerful thing too. People have used that for hundreds of years. And so do you do homeopathics?
We do for some times, but mostly it's Ayurvedic. From Ayurveda, it's more like you have to let it run its course to make your body more powerful, basically.
Yeah, stronger.
Yeah. So unless it's like a critical thing, we don't really worry about that.
That's good. Yeah. From an Ayurvedic perspective, we've done multiple shows on Ayurvedic with some different practitioners.
So I don't have any issues for my health, but I had interest in that. So, and my family members have issues. So that's what triggered me to join you. And obviously, since I don't vaccinate my kid, I kind of felt alone.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, you need to do it. Why not doing it? And whatnot. So I was like, okay, I need some kind of a support there.
Something you might want to consider for vaccines too is, are you familiar with Project 180?
No.
Project 180 by Dr. Stephen Baker. Let me make a little note of this. He is a doctor who's been on our radio show. He's out of Ohio, and he's put together something called Project 180. And what it is it used to be, I think, $180, but just as of a couple of days ago, he's making it free for everybody. And it's an awesome, awesome resource to have for vaccines and for people like you and me who don't vaccinate our children. It has every vaccine in 180 seconds. So it's 3 minutes long, super quick. Okay. It's really, really designed for busy people like you and me who are, you know, need the research, but don't have hours and hours and hours. And so it's really an invaluable resource. Project 180.
Okay. I mean, I have the website. I opened it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. It gives you every tool for your arsenal when it comes to vaccines. Are you facing a lot of friends and family that are against you?
I mean, all of them are, but at this point, it's more like they don't say anything, basically.
Yeah.
But now, because of this current situation, they're like, no, we all have to. But like, I tell my parents not to take it. I think my mom told me when you were young, then you got some kind of infection with, so we didn't do all of them.
Okay.
So I can see like when fell difference between my and my brother.
Oh, like really?
He got like another dose of it when he was around in like 10th standard in high school. And so he, and his habits are also different. So obviously I can see that. But
yeah,
I mean, the only thing that for him what's going is that he kind of is in more like a parasympathetic state.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does not worry about it.
Yeah.
One of the questions that during the, during the whole, like with Dr. Bruce Lipton and whatever Dr. Bergman said was like, even if you take anything that is bad for you and you don't perceive it as bad, it won't affect you as much as it should. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, kind of sometimes, I mean, obviously in Ayurveda, you have the same thing and you have lots of so many stories about it where like, but you have to be in a state of mind which is very different from your current state,
right?
Like which normal people don't, but still just that trigger of what you thought while eating food or taking it would affect your how much. But the only thing is doubtful in my head is like, if that was the case, then like if you give something to a kid, right, they don't think about it. Like, they always think that it's going to be helpful. Then why, like, that chemical stress affect them as much?
Right.
Right. Like, in case, like, right now, I mean, my wife stopped taking the thyroid medication for like 6 months. She started doing yoga and a lot of meditation, and she was on like a Ayurvedic medicine. And so the doctor, she had a blood test done recently, and her thyroid was not like, it was like 5 point something, which we expected that it's right. not, but it was not like 11 or 40 or whatever, which was
right. could be a lot worse.
Yeah. And so the doctor said your liver enzymes are one of them, like AST and ALT are really high.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I mean, I asked him that why, if they are high, obviously the enzymes are there so that they can digest something, right? So is it like, what's the cause of it? And then I found that, I mean, one of the link was in one of the papers was that there's a link between those enzymes high with hypothyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
But then it could be also the Ayurvedic medicine, because obviously he said that one of her patients was taking Ayurvedic medicine and that triggered it.
Mm-hmm.
So in your talks, you did mention that you should question. So I did question like what enzymes, if enzyme is high, that means it's liver is trying to digest something, right? Right. So is it something that is toxic that it's trying to digest, or is it something that you haven't taken before? But he couldn't answer. He was like, no, I'll refer you to the liver specialist.
Was this a natural doctor or a medical doctor?
No. He's like a allopathic doctor. Like
an Ayurvedic doctor?
No. Normal.
Just a regular.
Yeah, just regular
doctor. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, their only solution is testing, and then medication.
Right, and I mean, if there is no side effect of, like, because she's high and she's, like, calmer, she has no issues. Like, so I asked, like, what is the cause of, like, why would it be high and what are the risks? So right. He said that it could be like if you have any infection. So I mean, like we don't. I mean, she has no fever, no infection. So
mm-hmm.
He couldn't answer that. So I was like, maybe I'll look into one of the videos to see the elevation, and if there is an elevation, is that a harmful thing or is it not a harmful thing? Like once you drink alcohol, obviously one of those enzymes is high because it's trying to digest alcohol, right?
Right. Right.
And then once there's no enzyme, then you get hungover.
Right.
So if you don't, we don't drink and we don't smoke, but if like what's, because now in our head, it's like, it's that Ayurvedic medicine, it's causing that liver enzyme to go high. So I should just stop it. And I mean, I don't know about that. So I couldn't find those kinds of details in the videos, like, what causes the enzyme level high? Does that mean it's harmful or it's not harmful? Like,
right.
Because I mean, obviously one of the videos you said enzymes are there to digest, right? So if something is produced high, does that mean that it's just trying to digest something that you haven't had before, or is it because of the hypothyroidism?
So there's a few things that I may want to share with you that maybe you haven't thought of before when it comes to thyroid and things. Obviously, there's two sides of the coin, right? You want to take the nutraceuticals and the therapeutics to help fix the situation. But then also on the other side of the coin, you want to stop what's causing the assault. So one thing is, does your wife protect her thyroid from the blue light coming from her cell phone?
Oh, no. Yeah, that was one of the videos I saw, and I downloaded for my Windows, they don't have that. Okay. I have Windows 7 and they don't have, but there is a program to where you can have, it's called f.lux.
Yes.
You can download and it protects you from blue light.
One that's a lot better than that, though, called iristech.co. And that one is a lot better than Flux, because Flux, the problem with Flux is that it doesn't have any way of blocking the pulse that's coming out. And so there's this this pulse that you can't see, but your subconscious mind can detect it. It's like the flicker rate. And Flux doesn't get rid of that, but Iris will. So having your wife, that blue light, we did a whole workshop on that. And that blue light will penetrate. The problem with the thyroid is that it's the closest organ to the out to the part of your skin that's exposed. It's right underneath your skin. And you can see here, I'm wearing a little thing because I have 6,500 Kelvin blue light blasting me right now, which is why I have the glasses. And I'm protecting my thyroid from this blue light that penetrates to the depth of your thyroid. And so that's a major assault that no one is really talking about or no one really understands. Because if you look at people's phone, they'll have it. This is my wallet, but they'll have it like this, you know, like right up in their look. And it's just right on their thyroid. So that's a major assault that I would look at first. And then the other thing I would look at is polyunsaturated fatty acids and mineral absorption, specifically magnesium. Have you done a lot of research on magnesium and the benefits of it?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of it, but I know that magnesium is one of the relational thing too. And polyunsaturated, I mean, we because it's in our tradition not to take refined oil. It was kind of introduced by Western influence to refined oil, but now everybody has again switched to non-refined oils. So it's been like at least 5 years, 5 to 6 years, we only take like coconut oil, ghee, or other like mustard oil and those kind of stuff, which is like traditionally used in our country.
That's amazing. The problem is that you and I were both raised for decades on canola oil and all these oils that get stored in our tissues. So there needs to be a way for us to get rid of those. And those cause hormonal imbalances and poor thyroid health too, that no one really talks about, polyunsaturated fatty acids. So those get stored in our tissues. And what happens is they, when they combine with oxidation, they literally become oxidized, and then it creates oxidative stress, and this starves the cells of oxygen. And when that happens, you have all kinds of things. Like you said, the liver is in play here, and that has over 500 functions. Very important that these polyunsaturated fats get out of our liver. And unfortunately, you and I were raised, well, I don't know about you, but I'm sure we were both raised.
I mean, I was exposed to canola oil for maybe 3-4 years when I was in the US, and okay. I was a student, so obviously that was the cheapest option.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since I'm a vegetarian, so we don't, I mean, I never went out to eat.
Yeah.
But once obviously I got a job, then I started. But yeah, at least like 4-5 years, I would say, for canola oil, or the vegetable oil.
Yeah. Or a lot of people are fish oils or these types of things.
But even if what we got, like ghee, it was from like the cows that you get here, mm-hmm. which are like so mistreated. And so obviously, yeah. I mean, we have, even after coming here, I've reduced a little bit of dairy, because the dairy you used to get there was from like from our native cows,
right,
which are of different species than like cows here, and they were treated really well, like as a family member. So like, it's just the same thing, like the mother, whenever mother eats, and when she's happy, she'll give healthy milk. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing for us, at least for the cows. So obviously things have changed with commercializations over there also. So we have stopped taking milk, at least. I used to drink it every day, but now I really drink it like once, like in a month or so.
Yeah. Do you have any reactions to it when you drink it here?
I mean, like my brother had reaction to milk when he came here to US, but I never had any. So my wife also had gluten issues when she came here.
Interesting.
And so she's off gluten for at least, and that could be one of the reason of thyroid also, because that mistriggers and causes that. So she has stopped gluten, and then we found a chiropractor here. He was really nice. And
oh, good.
He does not satisfy all your criteria.
Yeah.
He does not do the x-rays and all that, but then it takes at least one or two visits to kind of fix everything. It's not like 10, 20 visits and it's not working. Nothing is working.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of muscle testing, and then he does alignment, and then he kind of, the first time I went there, he just kind of figured my history, like what my family history. And I was like, I don't know how you know of it, but that's kind of true.
Yeah.
So he told me, maybe in your family, you have somebody who have a bipolar disorder and all. I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's great. I'm glad you found someone in your area. So you're in Dallas now.
Yeah.
And is your wife pretty much on board with everything you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, she's on like 50%, I would say.
Okay, yeah.
initially she was not at all, but then I was like, okay, let's wait, like not vaccinated for a year and see. Now
okay.
2 years and 3 years, now it's like almost 4 years. So.
Wow.
I mean, at least till if anything goes wrong, one of the reasons was like to join this was to like with this situation right now, they're talking about mandating that vaccine if it comes out in September.
Right.
So I was reading on like if they do it, how to like what is the protocol to like have it not have like that negative reaction from it.
Right.
Like if they just forcefully do it to you. So one of
I
them
did,
was vitamin C, but I would like...
Have you seen the video that I did? I did a video inside the academy covering exactly this issue, because I was getting a lot of questions from our radio show. People were asking, what do I do if my wife is... my wife and I are separated. I don't want to vaccinate, but my wife does, and we're in the middle of a separation. What do I do? So I did a whole step-by-step protocol of the days leading up to and the days after mitigating the effects of the vaccine. So now what's amazing is that I never thought this was going to happen. But now, like you said, they're trying to vaccinate adults and they're trying to come after everybody. So I made that video for husbands and wives that are separating, never thinking that you and I may have to utilize this information. But it's in the academy under Q&A with Jay. I think it's session number one.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't gone through all of the videos. I just went through the anatomy ones. And then one of them was your question and answer that was related to cirrhosis. So I wanted, like, my family member has that. So
it's a challenging thing because I see a lot of people struggling with, you know, their family wants to vaccinate, but they don't. And so I can't, since the state sides with the pro-vaccine, I'm up against my family and the medical industry that wants to do it. And so I laid out a whole plan of what you can take before, during, and after.
I'll look at that because if anything happens, I mean, I'm sure something will happen so that I can be...
I know. I never thought I may have to use that. I hope not, but... I mean,
I'm kind of is in Texas, so I feel it should not, because I think people might, will do some kind of objection to it, but who knows? What if they come with like a hammerhead, like you can't go out, you can't ride a plane if you're not vaccinated and all that ID20 thing.
I think that's
Bill Gates and...
Yeah, I think that's coming. I think they really want to push that. At least that's what I'm saying. Are you seeing that too?
I mean, not in the initials. Like when it started, no. But now, since that Fauci has said that it will come again, right?
Right.
So now it's like now with even the political statements are like, similar to like even the governor starts saying we need a vaccine. Earlier he was just like, okay, we need therapeutics, but now he's like, no, it'll be all fine once we have the vaccine, which God knows, like God. With like many months. I don't think it'll be tested fully.
No,
they don't.
And I think that they're going to do another wave of this coming the fall of 2020, where they're going to really lay it on thick, I think.
Yeah, and because obviously there'll be flu, and so how people will be scared, people are scared anyway. So if if it's flu, how would you differentiate whether it's COVID or whether it's flu, and whether if you had, one thing I didn't understand was like corona causes cold, right? So how they would they differentiate that? Is it the cold virus or is it the novel? Like one of the guy was saying, they just take the random selection. The PCR test itself is not like valid. The person who did it was like, don't use it as a diagnosing tool.
Yeah.
And so did that. But that's like, that's, I don't question that because I mean, I don't have a power to, they'll just say, no, no, that's right.
Right.
That's what it's supposed to happen. So I look at that
one. One question I ask everybody is, in your area, neck of the woods, do you know anybody that has coronavirus?
No. I mean, I don't know personally, but I know my cousin's friend's friend in New York had it. And she was like, I had it. I was in the hospital. It was like just like a flu, and she was just fine.
Wow. You know, what's funny is there's people that have been on here. I've asked everyone I've asked that have been on the Zoom chat. There's a lady in Italy, Silvana, who's part of our membership, and there's people in Ohio, every state. I've asked everyone, do you know of anybody that has coronavirus, or do you know of people who know people that have it? Everyone says no. Everybody says no.
I mean, I know only because my cousin was in New York. She was in Columbia University, and her story is different. I mean, she's doing kind of like muscle testing course right now. She was an architect before.
And then
she got diagnosed with all these things, cirrhosis and all. So she was like, I don't know what this is. I'm going to just study about all of that. So she's studying all that right now. So there in New York, she came to the access, but her friend's friend and one of another friend's aunt got sick. So the friend was like in to her 20s. So she was fine, but her friend's aunt who got sick was diagnosed with corona, and she was fine too. It was just like they never tested her.
Okay.
It was like, it was just weird. The news is different than what was the treatment.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going on? I mean, I don't, but that's not our, I mean, that's not at least my concern. I mean, I just want to be prepared of whatever comes from them. It's like, I mean, I don't feel like I have the power, at least at this point, to kind of go against what they do. Like, they'll be like, okay, do this, do that. If you need a driver's license, you need to do it. And for us, it's like you have to renew it every 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's linked to the visa. So as long as you renew the visa, you have to do.
Interesting. Every 2 years.
Yeah. So it's like, I just wanted to be prepared. And then again, like, although culturally it's been like, we don't do allopathic medicine, but it's like, now, even now that, I remember when I used to get sick in India, even the doctor, there were no like natural doctors, like even like the normal doctor, they would say, that's fine. You don't need anything. Just go home. And
really,
but now it has shifted. Like, it has shifted really dramatically. They would, because I know, like, we would go, they would be like, that's fine. It's just cold and cough, go home, drink your orange juice, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But now it has, like, okay, you need diabetes medication, you need this, you need that. It's all like a money-based thing. It's almost like U.S.
So India is sort of following the U.S. protocols or whatever.
Yeah, I think more in the sense now, the people are not even, they don't know anything about it. It's like they spend so much money on, like Bill Gates spent so much money on vaccines ads over there. Like, okay, there was one ad I remember for polio they did was for, it was 2 drops of life. And it lasted, one of the most famous actor did it for years, and then they had that. And nobody knew that it's banned in US. They were like, okay, that's fine. Just take it. And then they do all those kind of thing, testing. Their testing happens in the rural area.
Okay, right.
They don't have a lot of, obviously, good food. But the thing is that for them, if it's the food is good, because they do work out and they don't care about... The only difference in population, I feel, here and over there is like, if they don't have enough, they like if they can eat twice a day, they live happily. They're more happier than like we will be, or people, if I compare people here, because the mindset is really, really different. It's like the mindset you get after meditation is they're already their mindset. So even if they get all those medications, sometimes the only issue is that if the sanitation and their food was not good in some areas, that's where you found most of the issues.
Interesting.
So now they have worked on sanitation really in the last 4 years. They have really worked on the sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously now they kind of, no news comes about like polio, but obviously there's like the vaccination induced polio is always going to be there.
Wow.
But I think the mindset is for them, it's much better because they're out in the sun all day. They do their workout. The work is the workout.
Right, exactly.
And then, so that's the only difference I saw here. It's not like they're poor in like money.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, they are not poor. Like,
is your wife Indian?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys planning on going back there or staying here?
I mean, I've been planning that for a while now, but it's like hard. We have been here for like at least more than a decade. So now hard to go there. I mean, I'm still thinking about it because the only difference here is that we miss our animals.
Your what?
We can't drink milk, basically. And
oh, right.
There's all... So basically we have a... I mean, obviously there's no research, but there's an ancient research done on cow. And it's only the species found in Indian subcontinent. It's called Indus bonicus.
Okay.
And there is a lot of Ayurvedic research done on the minerals found in the milk, and especially only in that cow's milk.
Interesting.
Which is now basically termed as A2 in US.
Okay, so that's what they determine as A2 here.
Yeah, like so. I mean, obviously they knew about it, so they did import a lot. Even US did import a lot of those cows. Brazil did. A lot of European countries did. And what they did in India was just the reverse. And because during that rule of colonization, what they did was they introduced water buffalo, and they introduced butchers, basically.
I see. Yeah.
So they butchered a lot of those cows, and then they introduced buffalo milk. And then after a while, the American cow was introduced. So now, and then obviously they started giving hormones after all that. And there is obviously, it's banned, but it's not like in India, there is no regulation. There is regulation, but it's not enforced regulation.
Right,
so
right.
The regulation happens from bottom up, basically. I know that guy locally and he does not do it.
So what is the name of that cow again?
It's called Indus bonicus.
Okay.
And it's only found in Indian subcontinent. And there's a lot of research done on its urine. And there are actually lots of medicines, Ayurvedic medicines, that are based on that urine. And obviously, it's an Ayurvedic preparation. And only the milk. And a lot of emphasis is not only given to, you can't just drink. You have to... There's a protocol in to see how, because the cow is treated and how the cow is fed. And that's why it's like considered a family member. And there are basically a lot of research on, Ayurvedic research on, where it said that if the mother does not produce milk and there's nobody willing to give milk to the newborn. Because in India, obviously, I think 4 centuries back, if the mother cannot produce milk, there was like a midwife.
Okay.
That would give their milk. Basically, she would feed the baby.
Interesting.
And then, but if that was not even the case, then the cow milk was only from that cow and needs to be in your house. And basically, there's a protocol that you need to follow, and then you can drink it. And you don't need a huge quantity. It was like 1/4 of the measurement is a little different from US, mm-hmm. because the cup size itself is very small there. Mm-hmm. So you can only take, and it's supposed to be taken as a medicine.
Yeah, it's considered a medicine, right?
And in India, till today also, you get raw milk, which is nice.
Right.
The milkman comes every day, at least not in the metros. Like, you won't find it in the metro area. But most of the people don't live in metro.
Right.
So you get raw milk easily.
Well, I'm happy that you haven't vaccinated your son. That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Yeah, I know.
After that, I realized whatever, even that how deep that thing is, that even if you watch any show, you will have at least one episode on humiliating the parent who has not vaccinated.
Yeah.
So there'll be one episode on that in any of the medical shows.
Wow.
Which is like, I was like, oh, they have so much money invested even in the shows that they can influence people.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to do about schooling and things for your son being about 4?
So schooling, I don't think in Texas we have an issue like California. They just need, even for the daycare, the state gives you that certificate that you haven't vaccinated your kid, and then the protocol is that you require that.
Okay.
That's fine. But if anything happens, I have a nearby school, which is like a private school,
mm-hmm.
Which is not like really expensive. And they do follow Indian practices of meditation in school and all that.
Oh, wow. So what's the name of the school?
It's called the Humanist Academy.
It's Humanist.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they do, they follow a school that is originated in Austin called Actinum Academy.
Okay.
But the difference from that is that they don't do meditation, or they don't follow, because the owner is Indian, so they do have Sanskrit and like meditation practices in their school.
I'm looking that up right now, the humanistacademy.org.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Austin, Texas. Interesting. The humanistacademy.org. That is really great. Is this the one that you're going to?
We are thinking about it because he will be 4 or 5. I mean, he would go to school next year, right? So, yeah, we're thinking about it. It's just that money thing, which I think I can figure out. But it's just more important than, I mean, if they're healthy, then it's more important.
I mean,
there's a proverb in India. It's called the first sukh is, first happiness is healthy body.
Say that again. That's great.
The first happiness is healthy body.
Okay.
The second one is money. The third one is if you have a partner that is compatible, and the fifth one is the kid, if he's on the right path. But the first one needs to be a healthy body.
Healthy body. That's a great saying. That's great. Mm-hmm. You're doing so good with your son. Even if you vaccinated him now. Most kids are vaccinated within 6 months. So his immune system's strong. He's built up. He's stronger.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being forced, then I will wait till one of your talks. I think your Dr. Bergman was with when the brain blood-brain barrier is formed.
Right.
But I mean, I still have so many questions on whenever I go to the pediatrician, I ask him like because I asking them questions, they say, okay, the MMR, we're going to give the MMR, which is a live vaccine. So I'm like, if it's a live vaccine, what's the difference between? So even during this corona, I had to do some research on what actually is live and active versus inactive virus. And
right. Is there any way for you to isolate, like they want to do the MMR, but the problem with that is it's three vaccines in one. Right. Is there any way for you to isolate those out, do you think?
That's what, one of the talks was that, right? But then I will ask them if they force me to do it, but they haven't forced me yet to do it. Uh-huh. But the other thing was that if it happens, right, if, like, obviously, I mean, when I was a kid, I did have a lot of, we had chicken pox, I had measles and all those things, and
yeah.
We were just fine. And
yeah.
At that point, it was just like, even my grandmother was like, oh, it's nothing and we'll go away.
Uh-huh.
So that was the mindset since it was the part of the cultures. But now it's more like, what if you get it? Because now it's like, oh, there's an outbreak, measles, it's death. But yeah. Nobody else. So one of the reasons is like, we have a lot of microbiologists, so I need to do a lot of research in order to argue with them. Like, but now they're like, oh no, we do. Like, one of the questions, I think when I posted one of the questions on your forum was like, if a dog bites you, why do they give you the vaccination, right? The which one they give?
Like rabies, right?
Yeah, right, rabies vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Because if the dog had rabies and now I have it, how would it help with just injecting me with it? Which I actually had that real question. So my cousin was during the class also, he had a question. So I asked her to ask a professor that question.
Uh-huh.
And so she said that, because she was talking about, there was a lecture on vaccine, and she was talking about vaccine for smoking. Like,
for smoking?
Yeah. She was like, now we have started giving vaccines for people who smoke. So once they smoke, they don't like it and then they quit. And I'm like, what?
What in the world? What?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, how are they going to go with this?
Wow, that is incredible, because you're starting to hear now like some of the symptoms of this coronavirus that they're trying to say it's everything from rashes to irritability. I mean, they're really reaching with.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did that scare recently with kids.
It's they were the same mindset.
There's a kid thing happening.
Yeah.
Kids are getting inflammation, they're getting rashes, but it's like a Kawasaki disease. We know the treatment of it. And I'm like, suddenly it's like, man, everything is going down. They're again bringing that up, right?
So I'm with you and Dr. Bergman in the sense that if we don't allow, we did a whole radio show with Dr. Thomas Cowan. And if you don't allow the immune system to build up the antibodies and to go through the chickenpox, the measles, mumps, all of these childhood diseases, if you don't allow a child to go through that, not only does it weaken your immune system for life, but it sets you up for chronic degenerative diseases like cancer, like dementia, like Alzheimer's. All of these things are linked to not having been able to go through that process and building your immune system. And people are afraid to death of doing that.
So it's so funny, like whenever I listen to Dr. Bergman or you or Dr. Bruce Lipton,
uh-huh.
There is like, it's like 100% similar to what Ayurvedic, like what we have been taught since we were kids, mm-hmm. like culturally, that your thoughts control everything. You can change everything from your thoughts.
Right.
And at least for what Bruce Lipton says, it's basically what our scripture says, that this is how it needs to happen. But with the vaccination point, what the professor told us, which is still confusing, was that your body, because I asked her that question, and she said that once you inject the rabies vaccination, your body would respond quicker to it than if you had the live virus, which really didn't make any sense to me, because then I had to do like won't your immune system kick in as soon as the dog bites you, because the skin blood barrier is broken,
has been breached,
and it's the
second arm of your immune system,
the first defense that you talk about in your talk.
Yeah, you have two arms of the immune system, what the first one's called, but that basically is the antibodies that live in your white blood cells in your bloodstream.
Right. Before even that, the microphages would be called, right? And then if nothing happens, then antibody will be called so now they're saying, now she told that it's going to be faster, which was like, I don't know how it would be faster, but that's what she said, that putting in the rabies vaccine would be faster than your body reacting to the live virus. She said that your body won't recognize the virus as soon. And then I was like, because even if you are bitten by a dog, it takes at least 5 or 6 hours before you visit a doctor. And then or even sometimes some people go next day and then they inject that rabies vaccine.
Yeah, I think you and I, like our generation, is being called to, I think we're at a critical time in humanity, and people like you and I that are actually doing the research and looking into things and questioning mainstream narratives, I think that we have a critical role to play in the direction that humanity is going, because you and I can both see the agenda that's trying to be pushed on us, and it's pretty obvious to me what they're trying to do. And unless we get a multi-layered approach of awakened citizens from around the world to not just push back, but educate themselves and other people, the direction of humanity, I think, is trying to go in a very dangerous way, in my opinion. And I think I'm glad for people like you and other people that are awakened to this, because I think we have a huge role to play in which way. I think we're at like a crossroads, and humanity can go one of two ways. And unless people wake up, like you and me and other people, if we just let things happen, we're going to go in the wrong direction, you know?
I mean, that's what it feels like, at least with this situation, at least.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but if I go inwards, then I feel that everything is going to be fine, and then like the truth will trump at the end. So,
And that's what's so cool about having a spiritual path that you follow, is you know that everything is going to be okay, and you know, and everything will work out. So it's a dance between understanding that and being connected, but then also sharing information is going to empower people to wake up as well, and keeping that balance, you know.
I mean, now after all the courses, whatever courses I've done, it's like I've told so many people that, oh, you don't need antacids, you need to take either HCL or apple cider vinegar, because that would trigger so many things. And so now obviously they don't agree with me. I mean, I just tell them, if they agree, that's like, just to let them know that, oh, you know, there is a... Oh, one of the questions I had in my mind that was obviously the lower, the esophagus and the stomach sphincter is open when you eat. But then it takes stomach some time, at least 2-3 hours to digest or make it to a chyme, right? And then the lower one opens up. Mm-hmm. So what triggers that to open up? Because what if I had food and then after a few hours I snagged on something, right? obviously that won't be digested properly. So what triggers that sphincter to open up, like, and only take the digested food, right? Because it's just a wall, right?
So it's my understanding that the pH is part of the pH of the stomach is part of what connects to the gallbladder, and the gallbladder then, based on the pH, will release certain amounts of bile salts into your stomach. And from when that happens, then the lower sphincter can open, because as soon as the pH of the stomach is adequate, and the bile salts have been added to the stomach, then that lower sphincter can open up and allow the contents of the stomach to move into the small intestine. And the problem is that a lot of people don't have adequate stomach acid. This is a real issue, because the stomach acid communicates with the gallbladder to be able to release the bile. And so it's when you don't have enough stomach acid, you have that disconnection happening.
I mean, I did, after that HCL thing, I did follow the home test to do the, test the HCL level in me. And then I didn't get any that sodium bicarbonate one. And I didn't get a burp, within 5 minutes. And, I did get it after 5 minutes. So I started taking one HCL, because if I take two, I get that feeling of acidity. So I know my limit is two, but then I started chewing my food also.
Okay. And what about, do you take any digestive bitters or anything like that?
I mean, it's part of our food. Like, bitter is part of our food, like a bitter melon, there are some bitter spices that we put in our food.
Okay.
So, I know how it feels. Basically, as soon as I take it, it gives me a feeling of hotness my body. Not just the stomach, but it's just like a body thing. So now if I eat food and I have that feeling, then I see that, okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started chewing my food, it made a difference of day and night.
I know.
I mean, I couldn't have thought about it. I mean, I remembered that my mom telling me, chew your food at least 30 times.
I know, right?
Now I just chew it till it's liquid, and then it at least takes me 30 minutes to eat my food.
It's amazing, because if you are low in stomach acid and you don't chew your food and you're eating something very heavy, you're putting so much burden on your stomach acid and your organs to break that down into a liquid, when all you have to do is chew. And I'm guilty of that too. Sometimes I'm eating in a rush, I don't chew, and I feel it big time.
And now if I am angry or if I'm kind of excited, I don't even eat food.
Yeah.
I'm it's not worth it, because it's going to harm me. Then just if it's not necessary, if I'm in that mood, then I breathe a couple of times. If I'm normal, then I eat. Otherwise, I don't eat it.
Sometimes for me too, I've noticed that if I don't sleep well on a certain night, if I, maybe I only get 5 or 6 hours of sleep for some reason, and if I eat the next day, I've noticed a connection between maybe a little bit of indigestion or a little bit of lack of motility and digestion that way. But if I sleep well, I'm generally digest well too. I've noticed that connection in myself.
For me, it was more like I was not chewing. I was just eating like a robot, not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Not even chewing it, just gulping it. And I didn't have many issues. I mean, I actually never had any issues, but then people around me had low, they were diagnosed with cirrhosis and all other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so while treating or not treating them, telling them not to do it, telling them to chew your food, I also started chewing. And then it was so much different.
It's so simple, right? I mean, it's you don't have to take a supplement. You don't have to take HCL or enzymes or probiotics. You just chew your food.
And with the sleep thing for us in our culture, it's it's a little bit different. I mean, obviously you need to sleep that 7 hours, but when you're doing meditation and yoga, you actually, there's something called, I probably think you know about it, it's called yogic sleep, where you basically sleep in sleep consciously, not just like I'm tired and sleeping. So just like how you chew your food, you sleep while relaxing, thinking about relaxing your fingertips and all that. And then you eventually get, you wake up at like in 4 hours, you are full of energy.
Wow.
And I've actually seen that. I mean, I've tried that and it happened. So I know I can vouch for it that it works. Mm-hmm. But then one thing that I saw, at least on me, was that for some reason, there were like probiotics and stuff after actually the one of the videos on fermentation. I did fermentation. And if I do beet, if I eat a lot of beet, then it's like I get so much energy that I have to like stop off, like, because I don't need it. It's like I sleep like 4 or 5 hours and I'm like full of it, full of energy. I'll wake up at 3 a.m. My eyes will open and I have so much energy.
So you said if you eat a lot of meat, is that what you said?
No, no, beets, fermented beets.
Oh, fermented beets. Okay, interesting.
The other thing I found was that I found one probiotic which was like they claimed it was it would survive the stomach acid, and it was it was test DNA tested.
Okay.
So I took those for like at least a week, and then the same thing happened with that also. Like I would wake up like 2 a.m. and I'm like, what am I supposed to do now?
Oh my gosh.
I'm done with my sleep.
Wow.
And so at least for me, if I do those, then I'm, I don't need, I feel like I have a lot of energy in the sense I don't need that many, that much sleep.
Sleep is such an overlooked aspect of our health, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't focus on it, but man, if you could fix one thing in your life, it's get good sleep.
More like quality of sleep and more not quantity, because I've seen so many people who sleep a lot, but then they're like, I don't have any energy.
Right.
So whenever I see somebody or they ask me some question that I have this issue, I say, what, how, when you wake up, do you feel full of energy or you feel like, oh, I'm not, I need some time to wake up?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, there, then if that's the case, then there's like you're not sleeping well because of some issue.
That's great. So it sounds like you follow a lot of Ayurvedic principles.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we never taught about it, but it's since it's part of the culture. So it's like, it's kind of ingrained, I would say.
I mean, Ayurveda to me makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
I mean, it's actually what you guys say, right? That's very similar to it's your
Working, but then like we've had people on our show that are Ayurvedic based and practitioners of Ayurveda, and it's so interesting because most people here in the West think that it's just like a style of eating, but it gets into body mechanics, it gets into personality types and movement and everything. That's awesome.
I mean, if you do like I mean, before the allopathic medicine came to India, it was just Ayurvedic. And everybody would just go to their local Ayurvedic person and then they would treat them with only if you can treat them at home, then you would take them, because at home you would have like, you would have neem, you would have tulsi, which is like holy basil. You have other other leaves that are not popular right now in Western world, but I mean soon it will be. Like there is something called Google leaves, which is treated for, which is used a lot. And obviously turmeric is there.
Right.
But then once it all, I mean, if you study about it, then it go get deal, like the medicinal aspect of it is like how to treat somebody is like, they like really, really interesting.
Right. Right. That's cool. And your wife, does she follow Ayurvedic principles a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, not a lot, actually. That's what she's doing right now. But now, today, she has a call with Raghu, and Raghu, like, now you have, like, those ASL and some other enzyme high. So you have to go to the liver doctor and see what's causing that.
That's interesting. So did you find us via Dr. Bergman? Is that how you found the academy?
During that time of that issue with my dog, I found Dr. Bergman. I was actually looking for videos like that, and Dr. Bergman's video came, and then one of the video had your the Academy's code on it. So I was like, okay, let's just join. To now I don't have anything.
Okay.
I went through all the courses, but I mean, for me it was I was more looking into, as I told before, more like anatomical detail courses, where like how really it happens.
The good thing is Dr. Bergman's such a great doctor when it comes to Ayurveda, but anatomy and how the anatomy works in the physiology. Like, he's really good at that stuff, and maybe we'll get him to do some more.
Yeah,
that would be good. So I don't know. Is your screen name
Rayan? Actually, that's my son's name. He was doing the calls in school, right? So it's Paneri is the last name. First name is Vaibhav.
What's the first name?
It's Vaibhav.
Okay. But yeah, that's cool. I think I remember your name. I remember your question in the forum about the dog bite. Yeah. You know who's a good resource you might want to about dogs is, are you familiar with Dr. Will Falconer from The Vital Animal?
No.
He might be a good resource because actually he's in Texas and I think he might be in your area. But he goes to India multiple times a year and he treats dogs holistically. And a big part of his practice is homeopathy. And his website is vitalanimal.com. You may want to look him up and just keep him as a resource, you know?
I did send the homeopathic medicine. I think it was from Vital Animals. Could be.
Oh, was it?
Maybe. I have to see.
Okay.
But the cost was a little different. So, I mean, they were much cheaper in India. So I just told them to just get it.
Okay.
But yeah, I did send one of them. Like the side effects of vaccine, they had one of them for that.
He's a great resource. He's been on our radio show. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, I look into it. I think
he's always in India. He may be in Austin or Dallas, but he's in one of those two places. So maybe someone to kind of keep on top of for your dog, you know?
Yeah, he's now like almost 11 years, so I'm thinking about getting him here, but now it's because of this situation. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know whether they're or not.
Right. That's awesome. I'm super glad you found us, and I'm glad to be here. I'm here basically Monday through Thursday at around 10 a.m. Pacific time, and roughly I stay on for about an hour. But these rooms, they're kind of really designed for members to connect with each other and to help each other out. So they're open all the time. So feel free to hop on at any time and see if anybody's on. But I'll be on definitely at those times. And it's just a great, great place to meet each other and support each other, you know, especially during this coronavirus time, you know?
True. Yeah. That's why I joined in, because I needed some kind of support for.
I know. That's how I am too, because a lot of my friends and family, local, you know, physically here to me, none of them see things the way I see them. And so when I get to talk to people like you or other members, it makes me feel like I'm not alone. It makes me feel like I'm not crazy. You
know? Because there's everything in media or whatever you see on TV also, it's like tries to make you feel that you are doing something wrong.
I know.
Like everywhere.
I know. And it tries to put a lot of fear into you as well.
Yeah.
And make you feel afraid. And, you know, for me, anything that makes you feel afraid, I just turn off. I don't consume anything that does that. So
the cloth that you wear on your neck, is it some kind of a special cloth or just like a...
It's just a thing. My wife made it. It just kind of has a clip in the back, but I did see something recently yesterday that may be even better than this. And that is an EMF blocking. It's a silver cloth that you can get that not only protects your thyroid from blue light, which damages it, but also EMF radiation. I saw that on lessemf.com. And you may want to look into it. It's a really janky website. It's hard to find things, but you can find it on there. And I'm going to upgrade to that because that would serve.
So it's just a silver cloth?
It's a silver cloth, so it serves two purposes. It blocks the blue light and protects your thyroid from EMF. So this one only blocks blue light, obviously. But
okay. I mean, I can get that a silver cloth from India because you have silver textile.
Oh, great.
Silver and gold textile is there, which is very common in old days where people wear silver and gold.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. I would highly recommend making sure that you either get a filter on your phone or blocking blue light, especially when holding a cell phone close up to their face, because that blue light's going to penetrate right into the thyroid.
Okay.
Yeah. Something no one really talks about, you know?
So. True, because now I see it is, because my parents also have thyroid. And what changed recently? I mean, they put the water filter as well. The air is also fine because they are outside the city. But they both have thyroid. So, and the phone is the only thing that has changed in recent years though. So I'll tell them to do that too.
Yeah,
and everybody's on the phone all the time.
Yeah, and when people hold it up so close, that blue light is a 6,500 Kelvin amount of blue light with no mitigating red or purple or orange. And so the sun has that perfect blend of blue light to wake you up in the morning along with the orange and the purple to allow that mix to occur to reset our circadian rhythms. But when you blast 6,500 Kelvin blue light frequency, that's super high wavelength, it's super penetrating right onto your thyroid like that, it actually damages the sensitive tissues in the thyroid. And there's so many thyroid issues these days, and no one seems to be understanding that, you know, that the light itself is a huge factor in thyroid health. And because everyone's like this, you know, or like this.
And the glasses that you're wearing right now, is what are those?
So these are the same thing. They're blocking the damaging blue light. Because right now, I record on this computer for our radio show. And when I record, I can't filter the blue light because I don't want the video that gets on YouTube to be an orange video, you know?
Right.
So I have no filter on my screen right now, which is why I'm wearing this and this and this. And I'm blocking my skin from blue light as well because blue light is just damaging on so many levels. So these are from a company called Raw Optics. There's a few different companies that makes blue light filters. And we did a workshop about how light is more important than food when it comes to your health, and how light actually controls 46% of how your brain operates and the hormone levels in your brain. And people think that it's mostly about food when it's really about non-native EMF in the form of blue light and EMF and cell towers and all of this frequency of blue that's really damaging to us. So I don't sit in front of a computer or do anything without protecting my eyes. So it's too important to me. I don't want to lose my eyesight. I don't want to screw up my hormones. I don't want to increase cancer risk. And so.
So what about the, actually I had a question I forgot. But I guess I lost later.
No worries. Yeah, it's, just too important.
Oh yeah, what about the light in your house? Do you use LED or like normal?
Yeah, so the light that you want to get. So basically, I mean, this will resonate with you because you're, you know, coming from an Indian culture, you're more connected to the cycles and the rhythms of the season, especially with Ayurveda. You want to mimic the sun. So in an ideal world, when the sun sets, there is no more light. But in our modern world, that's almost impossible. So you want to mimic the sun as much as possible. If you really want to prevent disease and live optimally and have energy. So inside, if I turn lights on at night, it's either going to be like this one back there is a red incandescent bulb. And I'll have those on inside, or an incandescent versus an LED and a fluorescent lighting is going to be the worst lighting for your biology, because you're telling the photoreceptors in your skin and in your eyes that it's summertime in the middle. It's noon, it's high noon, it's summer, and your circadian biology creates all these circadian mismatches where your mitochondria thinks it's a different time. And so if you don't have the right timing, your melatonin is not going to be secreted. So what happens is that if you look at the morning sun, it sets your whole circadian biology of what time, where on earth you are, what season it is, what time of day it is. And that blue light frequency from the sun will help your pineal gland run those cascade of hormones to wake you up. And that's when we build melatonin. And so what happens is that, let's say you did that and you looked at the morning sun like I did this morning, but then if I took these off, what happens is that your body leaks out melatonin. So you create this melatonin in the morning, which tells you at a certain time, I'm going to start getting tired at night. But then if you expose yourself to blue light like this, you leak out. It's like a bucket full of water and you poking holes in it, and that melatonin leaks out. So this is why people have a lot of sleep issues, is because that melatonin's gone. And then when it comes time to go to bed, they've been blasting themselves with fluorescent lights, with LED lights, their computer screens, and their body doesn't have any melatonin left to start ramping down. And so it's a whole subject that you could get into, but it would tie in so nicely with your Ayurvedic principles and your connection to nature and seasons. It's fascinating. And when I learned that light really does affect your physiology and your mitochondrial health, specifically your ATP production, more than food, because all food gets broken down to electrons, not carbohydrates, and not, you know, that's what goes on the electron transport chain in the complex five of the mitochondria is electrons. And so when you learn about that, it's fascinating. And this is why I protect myself all the time, you know, with the lighting inside. And then like I have inside here, I have fluorescent lights all around, but I don't turn them on at all because of this. And then after I'm done with this, I'll go outside and take the glasses off, take everything off, and get in the sun for a few minutes to reset my exposure to the blue light here. So it's quite a lot.
Yeah. It's like more, you know, it's like more you, that's why they say ignorance is bliss.
I know, right? It kind of is sometimes, you know. I don't even know how I slept when I was a kid, when I was exposed to all that light, you know. I just, somehow you do it. But as I get older and I learn more, I'm learning to be more in tune with nature and going to bed earlier, you know, and all of that. So
another thing I had was like, is there any, I don't have a biology background, so if there is something, some kind of a course that would go more into details on anatomy and how things work. I think the chiropractor told me about something about Ray of Hope or something for muscle testing.
Ray of Hope, you said?
Yeah, something about hope or light of hope or ray of hope.
So you're really looking for like a lot of physiology, why things happen the way they do, huh?
Yeah, because most of the videos that I see, they kind of stop at some point. They're like, okay, we don't want to go more into detail, but I'm like, what happens after that? Like as you said right now, that it turns into electrons and the mitochondria basically uses electrons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, more like, I guess more like what doctors study. I don't know what.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm with you because I'm a visual learner as well. I love learning by audio, but I like to see in the picture. Okay, there's complex one of the mitochondria. Here's where the electrons are going. Here's what the mitochondria looks like and the functions of the body. I'll tell Dr. Bergman that and see if we can't get some more courses that shows us visually how these things are working.
Right. But if like you guys have any course or you know any course which any novice user can go and like do, where they teach you. Like, I think that course that he told me about has, you have to go and they will tell you about the anatomy. They might even, you have to go there for practicals as well. And I'll probably, maybe later on, once I find which one was it, I'll let you know what that course name was.
Did you like that? So you liked the skin course, because that was actually...
Touch for Health.
What's that?
It's Touch for Health.
Oh, Touch for Health. Okay. Interesting. I might see if Dr. Bergman might want to do a whole physiology course, because he loves that stuff. And let me look up Touch for Health. Okay, I see Touch. I see a number of different websites for that.
Yeah, it's like a course that, like, I think doctors or chiropractors, somebody can do it, and then it's like an affiliation, and then they have like a course on it, and then you just do that course. I think it was like $2,000. I think it's like $2,000, something like that.
Interesting.
And then you do the whole, I mean, it's more for muscle testing, I think. Mm-hmm. But they'll go through anatomy, and then they'll tell you all the things.
Mm-hmm.
So just to go in more detail to how actually it happens.
I'm going to look more into this. This is good. Yeah, I like what you're saying about the anatomy and the physiology and understanding how the body works, and bringing more of that into the academy. Because I'm with you. Once you understand how the body works, it's like that famous quote that says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." When people don't understand the body, then they start thinking the body is always attacking itself, and there's a virus out there that's going to attack me. And when people don't understand how the body actually works, there's a lot of fear there, because people don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I think there are a couple of courses as where you have like visuals and then you explain.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them was skin one, and there was a couple of them were the others, and where you talk about like viruses, bacteria and fungus, and nobody knows about viruses at this point.
Uh-huh.
So there's no research done on it. So the one cool thing is like there is a lot of stories, if you look in the scriptures, which talks about similar stuff, but it's more how... It's very interesting. I mean, once I know the anatomy, then I can like kind of read what's there. It's basically cryptic.
Yeah.
Like even if you read about it, you read it normally, you won't understand what it is. So if mm-hmm. you know what it is, then you read, then you'll get more knowledge. It's more like cryptic knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it becomes experiential, because I remember years ago, I was afraid to fly because I was coming back on a flight from Europe to America, and we hit an air pocket in the middle of the night, and the plane dropped a couple hundred feet, you know, and it just woke everybody up, and it was really kind of scary and jarring. And so I was afraid to fly after that, you know, but then I took a trip around the world in 2001. I took a year off and I traveled and just went by myself and explored. And the more I flew, the less scared I became, you know, and because it's experiential. And when you have knowledge of how the body works, it's like another tool in your tool belt where you don't have to be afraid. And I can look at what these guys are saying on TV and just see right through and say, that's a fear campaign. They're trying to sell vaccines. They don't know how the body works. And so I don't even have to let that in, because I understand how the body works. But if people don't have that knowledge, then I could understand why people are fearful. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it from the sense of not fear, but to know like what are they doing?
Uh-huh.
Like what's their plan as such, what's the next step, like
right.
As soon as it was going down, they'll bring up something like that child scare they bought.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like only some, and it's like from certain reporters would ask questions, it's what feels like it's prefabricated. It's like
right.
They ask question, they have a pre-prepared answer, and then they would answer that. It's just
I know.
even with the neuro-linguistic programming, one of the course was on that, right? And it's funny because there's some of the things that are part of the culture that you do it every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I mean, that's what you basically repeat it. And so in our culture, you do revere sun. So uh-huh. every morning you're supposed to go out in the early, like morning sun, and you're supposed to repeat few things, like few prayer, and then you just repeat it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically nothing but neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm. And tying it in and programming yourself, your subconscious mind, which you have more power over that than the media, but the media is desperately trying to reprogram our subconscious minds to buy into fear.
Yeah. It's like a battle.
Yeah.
It's like a battle.
I know.
Like you do something and then they'll try to do the opposite of it.
I know. I hear you.
Well, so now I just try to observe and not have like that feeling come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard. It's very hard because if you observe, think you're observing it, after a while you start thinking, maybe there is something. Maybe what if you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, you really don't know what's going on. They don't allow you to go to hospitals. What they're cooking up books.
I know.
Everybody has a COVID patient. So
to be that
now
silent.
It's just like symptom based. It's like you have symptoms and then you are like COVID-19.
I know. It's amazing. And to try to understand the power of being that silent observer is, unattachment and not letting things get to you and understanding that our ego is not us and our opinions are not ours. And we can detach from that and not get triggered by events or people or stories. That's the lesson, right?
Yep. It's like it's like a practice that you have to do every day because then your ego will always come in between. It's like you have to think about it. So there are a couple of meditations that I do, which kind of every morning that kind of avoids how to get rid of their ego.
Oh, that's great. And then part of it is building that into yourself, but then also cutting off either people, negative people, or the news or influences that are going to attack that. So you build that into yourself and then you kind of protect yourself by not allowing these influences in, you know, so it's challenging, you know, but it's good.
It is challenging too. Yeah.
It's good. It's where the growth happens, right?
Yeah. But it's really hard to avoid that situation. So I try to kind of practice somehow to have the power of not get affected, but it's really challenging. At least at this point, it's really challenging, but I think it'll work out.
Oh, it definitely will. Yeah. It sounds like you're on the right path and you're so knowledgeable and doing all the right things. And so you're in the right place. You got people around you, hopefully that can support you a little bit. And you have that strength and that desire to connect with yourself. And that's all that's important, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I kind of think sometimes is like, because why do these negative thoughts come in? It's like, what causes there? Because one of the videos you mentioned regarding the like how the microbiome could affect your thoughts. So if the microbiome is disturbed, where obviously some would grow, and like if the candida grows, then you have like negative. I mean, will that maybe that causes negativity or?
Mm-hmm. A lack of, definitely serotonin and these types of hormones are connected to your gut microbiome. And there's studies now showing that the proliferation of mycotoxins being emitted from candida and yeast get exponentially produced when exposed to Wi-Fi. So that's, you know, the more Wi-Fi there is, the more these yeast and bacteria grow that we don't want, which affects our nervous system and affects our thinking. And then another thing too is what people don't realize is iron activates the fear center of the cell. And so excess iron also causes us to be more afraid and activates that. So you have these nutritional imbalances that that are affecting people's mood and their depression and, you know, cravings. And so even just on a physical level, excess iron and a lack of beneficial bacteria is causing mood disorders and depression and, you know, thoughts and fears and things.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a journey, but I love it, you know.
I mean, that's what I try to do now, because I don't have any not at this point, I don't have any health issues, but people around me have it. So now it's like how to make them better, so it affects, because obviously it will affect me if the people around me are not healthy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's kind of, you call it in our culture, you call it like being extremely selfish.
Okay.
It's like you are so selfish that it's supposed to be good, because you're so selfish that you care about others to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's like it's you being so selfish that you care about because you don't consider yourself as you, but all around is basically you. So
that's an interesting way of looking at it. So you're saying that if you really care about what other people think about you, then you're actually being more selfish by thinking that, because it's really, you're thinking that it's all about you. Yeah. In that sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a unique way of looking at that. Kind of shed some light on that too, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's like one point of selfish is like, okay, I only care about me and not you.
Uh-huh.
But then you become so selfish, I mean, not in negative terms, basically you become so selfish that whatever is around you, you want it to be like the best.
Right, right.
So it's basically you're saying that you're not just you, it's your, everything that is around you also is you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really interesting. I'm going to think about that for the rest of the day. That really is fascinating. Because you don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Because culturally, it's like you have to improve yourself, right? Don't worry about what the, it's like, it's every culture, I think it's like what others say, but what others say is also affect you, right? So, or around, your atmosphere affects you. So you cannot be just what is in this body, right? Everything, I mean, not just mentally, but even if it's like anything that is surrounding you is also affecting you. So it's part of you.
Right.
So if you are really, really selfish, means you really know who you are, then you would care about what is around you also.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's a nice insight, man. I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the day and contemplating that.
So then you won't do anything that would trigger something in you.
Right.
To the surrounding also. Because anything you do in the surrounding will affect you also, so you won't do it. And then basically it'll basically change you to the sense that you would do whatever. It's basically to the point that you really care about. But the point is that you care about all of them because you're really selfish.
I know, right? The only reason why you care is because it affects you, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess if you take it to the extreme like that, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. Well, Rayon, is it Rayon? Or how do you say your name again?
It's Rayansh.
Rayansh. Okay.
Name. Yeah.
Well, it was awesome talking with you. I'm going to get going. But you know what? Peter is here. I don't see his camera on. He's from Denmark, and I've talked with him on previous Zoom sessions, and he's an awesome guy, and I don't know if he can hear us now or not, but feel free to talk with him, but I'm going to get going. Today's Thursday. I'll be on back on Monday.
Okay.
But feel free to jump on anytime and see who's around, you know?
Yeah, but
And I'll be in the forums as well. So if you want to hit me up.
Yeah, I'll go through the courses. And I had questions, but I thought I'd just talk.
Yeah, it's easier that way.
So I'll go through the courses again, because just first time it was just skimming through all of them. Now I'm just going more into and seeing what really.
Well, super great to meet you in person. This is really cool. Thanks for hopping on today.
Yeah, same here. It was really nice.
All right, take care, and I'll see you probably Monday.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.